When we talk about parasitic lung diseases, there are four mechanisms by which parasites can affect our lungs. Firstly, it's by direct invasion of the lung, and this causes usually coin and cystic lesions, or through the passage of larvae, and through by passage of larvae, which cause a picture similar to asthma or pneumonia, or they are reflex in generalized body changes, for example, eosinophilia causing Loeffler syndrome, and invasion of the pleura by adjacent infections like happens in pleural effusion. You may argue that parasitic lung diseases are not common, but actually they are an increase because of the easy by way people are traveling and due to immigration, and in this area, of course, is affected by so many refugees. And there is increase in house pets keeping habits, mimicking people in Europe, and in addition, there is increasing serving of raw meat in restaurants. So over the last 10 years, for example, in Jordan, the population demography completely changed. Now, half of the population who reside in Jordan, they actually come from different countries, and this has resulted that parasitic lung diseases have increased sevenfold between the years 2000 and 2014. Again, you may argue it's not common, but they are on the increase. And it is so important to think about parasites, because failing to do so will lead actually to unnecessary and risky investigations, which at times can be fatal, and so many patients receive so many treatments, like antibiotics and otherwise, before actually the diagnosis is made. English teaching says that if you see a case once, then you have seen it. If you see it twice, then you know it. If you see it three times, then you are actually expert in it. And I want you all to be experts. I want to start by showing you this 38-year-old man. He is a computer programmer. He developed cough, and chest X-ray showed a small opacification of the right upper zone, and his doctor thought this was a pneumonia, and treating him as such, his fiancée at that time threatened him if he doesn't lose weight and if he doesn't stop smoking, she would not go ahead with the marriage. And that is his X-ray, and the X-ray, as you can see, shows just a small, tiny lesion on the right upper zone. You can see it there very clearly. Now, he got married, and he kept his pledge to lose weight, but he did not actually quit smoking. And shortly after coming back from honeymoon, he developed high cough, severe cough, and mixed with blood. He went for a chest X-ray, and the chest X-ray was reported by the radiologist as showing active pulmonary tuberculosis. You can see this lesion up there again. Now it's cavitating with very thick wall. This is close-up for it. And then we started looking for TB, and the SPU3 samples of sputum were negative for tuberculosis. Another doctor suggested that could be malignancy. So he had a fine needle aspirate. And this led to nasty complications. What happened to him? He developed pneumothorax, as you can see. This is again. And the cytology came back as negative. But then the doctor who was treating with him, he insisted that this was a malignant lesion, and he wanted to do thoracotomy, and the pathology, which he had it, and the pathology came back as a hydatid cyst. This patient, after his operation, you can see how much weight he lost. This is the scar of his operation. But, of course, the story doesn't end there. We asked ourselves, does he have any more lesions, for example, in the abdomen? So we went for a CT scan, and as you can see in the liver, there is a definite cystic lesion in the right lower zone, and this was compatible with hydatid cyst again. So he did not opt to go for surgery. He wanted to try medications first, so we treated him with albendazole for 3 months. After this period of 3 months, another CT scan confirmed that he did not, there was no response whatsoever to the treatment. So we went for, and he had a surgery. And you can see the poor man, he is now full of scars of operation, something that we could have avoided if we thought of hydrolysis before. Another case which has been accepted for publication, he's a 52-year-old, a very heavy smoker. He presented with cough, dyspnea, shortness of breath, and noisy breathing. Now, a family doctor first diagnosed this is as asthma, but he did not respond. Another one changed the diagnosis to COPD, gave him inhalers for COPD, still there was no response. And now his breathing became so loud, so noisy, that his wife made to move to another bedroom. When he came to my clinic, he had no clubbing or wheezing, but he had a very loud neck stridor, and he had no palpable lymph nodes or other masses, so I arranged for him to have CT and bronchoscopy. And you can see on his neck CT scan, I know we are not all experts on neck CT scans, so I will go direct and show you the report. It says there is a polypoidal lesion that is on the left first vocal cords. And the diagnosis suggested that was a malignancy. So I took him there for a bronchoscopy, and you can see this is the soft palate. There is a cystic lesion on the soft palate, and just beneath it, and this is at the level of the left vocal cords, fourth vocal cord, he had a cystic lesion. And this cystic lesion was well-defined, huge, and it was protruding over the laryngeal opening, causing severe stridor. But again, in the lung, in the apical segment of the right lower lobe, he had this funny cystic lesion. And this is after clearing the things. You can see there is a lot of necrotic tissue, and underneath it there, coming out of the opening, this whitish cover lesion, and as it tried to touch it with the forceps, it was so soft, so much so I decided not to go for a bronchoscopy. Instead, I went for a CT scan, and in the CT scan, you can see he had many lesions with thick wall and cystic in the middle. There are more reviews of that. And, of course, his echinococcus antibody was extremely high, confirming, again, the diagnosis of hydatid cyst. Because of the multiple lesions, of course, we opted to go for medical treatment. But first of all, we had to get rid of the stridor, so we referred him to the surgeon to operate on the lesion in his neck. And you can see it there. That's during the operation. He had this massive lesion full of cysts, and they were removed. And since then, he has been on albendazole, and we are waiting to see the outcome. The third lady is Mary. She is a very nice woman, very active. She loves her cigarettes, and she loves her dogs. And frequently, she was treated as COPD, okay? And as her persistent cough, somebody suggested she should have a chest X-ray. And the chest X-ray showed that she had multiple lesions on both lungs. This is one of them, close up for it, on the right side. This is another one on the right side. This is on the left side. And the CT scan again confirmed the presence of these many lesions. You can see them on both lungs. And the report suggested that this is, and rightly so, that most likely this presents metastatic lung disease. And poor Mary, she understood what was meant by this report. She put up her business for sale, and she was convicted eventually by her family doctor to make sure of the diagnosis. She was admitted to hospital. Somebody suggested this could be vasculitis, and he ran out all the tests for vasculitis. They all proved negative. Again, she had sputum sent for cytology. This was negative, and even a mammogram was done, and again, this proved negative. Now, to make sure of the diagnosis, the next step was to do a CT-guided biopsy of the lung, and this was done. 2 hours later, she actually went into complete anaphylactic shock with fever, tachycardia, hypotension, and severe shortness of breath. And the chest X-ray showed now consolidation with right-sided pleural fusion. As you can see there, this is again confirmed by the radiologist who still insists that the most likely diagnosis was metastasis. But what grasped our eyes? That in her CBC here, eosinophils were elevated to 12 or 15%, which made us think this anaphylactic shock came after taking the biopsy. With high eosinophils, such suggests to us that this is a high-dated disease for which we checked her echinococcus antibody. It was extremely high, at, as you can see. And since then, she is on treatment, and she is doing very well. From this, these cases, we learn that there are no specific features for the colon or cystic lesion seen on X-rays for high-dose disease. Actually, a very nice study was done by Biggs, although it's old, in 1985, whereby he sent 10 X-rays of proven cases of high-dose cyst. He sent them to over 200 pathologists, radiologists, believe it or not. Only 20% of these X-rays were interpreted correctly as high-dose disease, and the conclusion came that it should be considered in any differential diagnosis for any patient presenting with a colon or a cystic lesion. And high-dose disease of the lung, the preferred treatment is by surgery. There was an excellent work by Shelaby, 19, published in 2002, whereby he presented many papers that showed complete resection of the high-dose cyst, assuming that was just a single or maximum two on the same lung. Otherwise, we have to opt for medical treatment, and the treatment of choice is now is albendazole, and the course, you should give it for 1 month, separated by 2 weeks, then repeat the cycles again and again, depending on how long and how good your patient responds to treatment. A treatment of fashion is what we call it PAIR, whereby the area is punctured, aspirate, then inject a scolicidal agent, and then re-aspirate again, keep injection, aspiration, and so on, until we get clear fluid back, then injecting hypertonic saline. Although this is a very good treatment for high-dose disease in patients with liver and kidney lesions, it is totally contraindicated in lung lesions and brain lesions because of the risk of anaphylactic shock. And the WHO Essential Medical Library stated absolutely that PAIR treatment is absolutely contraindicated in lung lesions. And there are other forms of parasitic lung disease. This is a very nice 28-year-old from Sri Lanka. She arrived into Amman, Jordan, 2 months earlier. She passed her medical, which means that she had a chest X-ray, which was normal. Now, she had 3 days of history of dry cough and low-grade fever, and the chest X-ray prompted the search for pulmonary tuberculosis, as she had this pneumonic-like picture on the left upper zone. Anyhow, the search for TB proved negative. She responded very well to the treatment, and only to come back after 3 weeks, and this time she had again cough and fever. Again, we looked for TB, but the lesion this time, instead of being on the left, now it is on the right lung. Again, she responded well to antibiotic treatment, only to come back for the third time, and this time she had two lesions on her lungs, not just one lesion. So these are what we call the fleeting shadows. This time we did not look for TB. Instead, we went for complete blood count, and you can see here eosinophils have gone up to 28%. So we made the diagnosis of Loeffler syndrome. We gave her systemic steroids without antibiotic, and after 5 days, her eosinophils came down to 10%. But the problem is that her IgE is normal. This is not non-allergic hypereosinophilia. And so the second common cause is our parasites. So when we checked her stools, she had ascaris, and this was treated with mebendazole with complete resolution. A young girl called Rana, very interesting case indeed. She presented to us with fever, dry cough, dyspnea, and muscle aches. And Rana, clinically, her chest was clear, but her chest X-ray showed consolidation, And the diagnosis of atypical pneumonia was made, and she was treated as such. And this is her initial chest X-ray, showing consolidation of the right upper zone. And after a few days, this lesion was getting smaller and smaller, and we thought we have done a good job by curing her. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, she came back again with very high fever and severe dyspnea, and her chest X-ray now completely changed. The diagnosis now, of course, should be revised. And now this is her second chest X-ray. It shows multiple nodularities on both sides of her lungs. And I put the two X-rays for you here to compare. So, of course, our diagnosis of atypical pneumonia proved incorrect, and we had to go back to the basics to reach a diagnosis. We brought her back to the clinic, and we started taking detailed history. And she, Rana, her father is Jordanian, but her mother is Egyptian. And 2 months prior to her illness, she actually went to Egypt, where she spent her holiday with her mates, and she played with them by swimming in the water canals, okay, which is very popular in countryside Egypt. Her eosinophils now were 12%. This all should point that this patient, she grasped bilharziasis or schistosomiasis from the water canals, and the diagnosis of Catayana fever was the one in the order. We treated her with the praziquantel, and you can see her, actually, her blood tests show very high titer for bilharziasis. And we treated her with praziquantel, and she is doing very well. And I want to finish with a case that's very nice. This poor man, 54, he actually complained of dyspepsia and loose motions. Initially, so a GI doctor who carried out upper and lower endoscopy, and as usual with the GI doctors, they always report gastritis. He was put on PPI and Lomotil, and patient seemingly got better. That's the report of the gastroenterologist. 3 months later, he developed severe right chest pain with fever and shortness of breath, and the GP prescribed for him Tavanec, levofloxacine. He was not better, so he was changed to ceftriaxone injections. He was not really better, so he consulted another doctor who ordered the chest X-ray, and according to the X-ray, he was referred to me. And this is his chest X-ray, showing very significant right-sided pleural effusion, but it was the clinical findings which were most interesting. He had jaundice. He was jaundice in the eye, jaundice in all over his body, and he has dehydrated, and even you can see in his underwear that he was jaundiced. So where to start? My working diagnosis was most likely this patient has a cancer stomach or cancer lung with liver and pleural metastasis. And the easiest thing for me was to start by taking some pleural aspirate. And that's what I did. And to my surprise, what I got back in the syringe, what red-brown color pleural fluid, this is what we call it, the anchovy sauce. We filled the first jar, the second jar, and of course, this is compatible with liver amoebiasis or amoebic cyst, which has ruptured into the pleural cavity. So we went for a CT scan of the liver, and you can see he had all these multiple cystic lesions. Since then, we treated him with metronidazole with complete recovery. What messages I want you to take home? Actually, it's one message. When you should think of parasites so that you avoid your patient going all these tests and treatments, what happened to our patients? Whenever there is a concomitant or preceding GI upset, any unexplained symptom like hemoptysis, when there are high eosinophils, when there are coin and cystic lesions regarding of their characteristics, as I showed you, and the fleeting shadows on the chest X-ray and pneumonia, that does not resolve with the proper antibiotic treatment. And I want you to remember that the best reading on this topic actually is published in Thorax 2009, which made a total review of all parasitic lung disease. This is a very interesting reading, and it has all what it needs. Finishing you with a note that we humans are the greatest of earth parasites, according to Martin Fisher, and thank you so much.
Bonjour. Parlons des problèmes de parasites respiratoires. Je vais vous parler d'un cas que j'ai vécu il y a 4-5 ans. C'est un Libanais qui est venu de Sierra Leone. Il est venu chez son oncle qui est chirurgien-dentiste pour un problème d'hémoptysie. Donc l'examen clinique était pauvre, la radio pulmonaire pas grand-chose, le scanner quelques bronchiectasies fines. Je fais une fibroscopie. La fibroscopie, je ne trouve pas grand-chose. Je ne trouve même pas le son, parce que le motif de consultation était des crachats sanglants intermittents. En plus, il avait des petites lésions cutanées qui étaient spontanément résolutives. Donc, j'ai fait un lavage bronchoalvéolaire et c'est le biologiste qui m'appelle. Il me dit, je trouve des douves. Donc, et c'était ça qui nous a orientés vers le diagnostic. Et en faisant la littérature, il y avait une, je pense, une dystomatose. C'est une pathologie qui est connue à Sierra Leone. L'infection se fait par du poisson et la localisation respiratoire est très importante. Je vous parle de ce cas pour vous dire que c'est le fait d'être systématique et de faire le lavage. Je n'avais pas demandé la parasitose, mais c'est le biologiste qui m'a orienté vers un aspect qui ressemblait plus à une douve qu'à autre chose. Et le reste du bilan était négatif. Et ce traitement, le malade a bien évolué. Merci.